Today's presenter is Dana Dufield. Dana is a senior software engineer and is the migration and interoperability architect for Webster Application Server in IBM Rochester. He has worked at the IBM Rochester Lab for over 26 years on various development projects. He has spent a considerable amount of time making Webster Application Server migration easier and educating customers on how to be successful. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Dana.
Thanks, Elijah. I'd like to welcome everybody. Thanks for joining. We will have a question and answer period at the end of this, so be sure that you come back with those tough questions and make it lively. So if we go to page 2, we'll get started. Here's the agenda. Start out with an overview. There's many different definitions of migration. I just want to level set what we're going to use for that term for today. Go through a roadmap, which is what I view as planning steps, execution steps, and how to look at migration from web server application version to another. What we've looked at for our, what we call our improving migration story, is certainly in the past things have been much more difficult. Things are improving, and I want to show you the various techniques you can use there and what progress we've made. Along with that is the runtime support, what we can do to move the environments forward. And then typically when I do this, I talk about a variety of version highlights. I'm going to focus today on version 6.1, and then I'll give you sources on where to pull up the rest of the information. So I'm assuming that we're going to focus on migrating to 6.1 given the time frame that we're in. So that will be our focus. And then there's some additional resources. There's a website that I'll point you to that has a lot of migration information on it. We maintain that ourselves, as well as there's some good WSTE resources coming online here, too. So let's move on to chart 3. So what we're trying to do here is really help customers help themselves. We're not looking to sell services. We're not looking to, make you, buy anything new. The really idea here is, I've learned a lot working with a lot of different customers on what works best, what to watch out for, all the gotchas, the pragmatics, and not just the technical details, but all the different issues that's involved in migration, and that's what I want to share with you here. So we're really looking at some overall guidelines, best practices to move forward, things to watch out for, things that can get you. There is no one migration path. It's going to really vary on a lot of different factors. Policies, past experience, which versions are involved. It really is going to vary a lot. So you kind of have to make up your own path here. There isn't one prescribed path that works for everybody. There's certainly a set of, two or three that work best for just about everybody, and you kind of have to pick from that based on your environment, and I'll help you understand that. So really use this as a guide to build your own plan. There's other information online that I'll show you where that's at for the very specific details. We've got like 158 pages, I think, version of this document out there on our website that has all the details in it that we're aware of for, when it comes down to changing code or what to watch out for when you move in between the different configurations. So I'll make sure that you know where that is. And if you need to, get assistance, right? I mean, this in many cases is not a trivial thing. We'd like to be able to say it's totally transparent, but we know it's not true at least yet. So the idea here is to get assistance if you need it, and there's certainly IBM sources available for that if you do need that. Let's move on to chart 4. So I really want to paint the picture here of what to look out for. Typically, we have people come into this experience with particular goals, right, or they're in a particular area. Administration and development are the two typical big areas that we see. Now, there might be breakdowns of little finer details within that, but those are the two typical major roles that you see when we come to migration. So one side, you're seeing somebody that's very focused on software development, fitting in this migration changes into their current plan, trying to figure out what code changes are necessary. On another hand, you see, the administrators involved in, what do I have to do to move the configuration forward? and that. So there's a variety here of different focus items, and we have to consider all that. You have to look at, you know, not just software development applications, but you also have to worry about not compromising the business here, right? We're not here to, you know, manage software. We're here to make sure that our businesses are up and running and using the systems to further our own business. So to do that, you have to manage this like a project plan. You know, you really have to look at this as a project management kind of concern a lot of times. The complexity, the expectations, the risks, basically have to build a plan for that. And I'll show you how to build up that plan. But, you know, it's not just a simple lay down the new web server version and you're up and going in many cases. I always prefer to take the more careful, pragmatic approach where we do the planning aspect of this and make sure that we've got things covered. I don't have a tendency to be kind of a cowboy, right? And I recommend that people do this with caution, because in the end, you're really managing risk so that your business isn't affected. And that's the bottom line from my perspective. Let's move on to chart 5. So here's the overall roadmap that I think about when we think about building a plan. And we'll go through each one of these boxes or set of boxes in greater detail. You start out with an assessment, and that's like you would with any project plan. You just kind of build the details, where are you at, what version are you on, how many applications do you have, you know, where you're targeting, you know, what kind of time frame are you looking at. All those things kind of, you know, build together. Planning, you sit down to build a plan, figure out, you know, how to schedule things out. Skills, if there's some new skills that you need from either administrators or developers, address that. That's becoming less and less of a concern as time goes by. And then typically there's the two paths here. You have to be concerned typically, first of all, with the development environment, getting the code changes made that are necessary to move up between the versions, getting that all lined up. That's usually pretty well known. Iteration, right? Go through the code migration, unit test, until you get it all working. The runtime environment on the right side is another aspect that we don't typically think about. And that's the variety of test systems that you have, migrating those up to the needs that you have to move to the newest version and perhaps maintain your existing environment at the same time, because this may take a period of time. And then how do you manage migrating those systems and really practicing your migration for your production, right? You really don't want to go into the production environment and this is the first time that you've tried your plan. You really want to practice that. And I advocate looking at the test systems to do that. In the end, this comes down together into your final test, roll that out to production, and then the last step is really look at the results. You may have to do this again at some point to do another migration, and typically if you've had success, you can use that same plan. If there's things that you would do better next time, make sure you note that. So that's kind of a learning experience of going through iteration. Chart 6, please. So here's more details on the assessment aspect. The first thing is really there's a gather the people, and there's a wide variety of folks that have an interest in this. And as I said before, it's typically development as well as administration. These people have to team. These people have to work together to make this happen. You can't just have the administrators roll out a new system and expect the code to work, and you can't expect the developers, you know, to not have a place to test their code. So typically, this is a big part of the project management, is working together and finding the right, you know, project structure to make this work. Many times we see the larger companies have project managers and assign one to the project, and they get the people together and they write the schedules and get this thing going. For smaller operations, you kinda, you know, it's not as big of a deal. You don't have as many people involved. You can probably do this much more informally and faster. But it really depends on the scale, right? If you've got several hundred applications, it's going to take more project management. It's going to take more time to get that done. I've seen, you know, in the range of a year to 18 months to get that whole thing done. It's not necessarily the work that you're doing for 18 months totally on migration. It's scheduling things in. It's making sure that you can get the different applications working on the migration at the right time, or finding a place where they're not currently committed. Because typically most development shops that are working applications have a booked plan. And now we're going to come in and say, well, we're doing this migration and we need you to work on that. And the answer is, when am I going to do that, right? Or what do I not do in order to do that? So a lot of times it's a matter of finding these periods of time. Some people call them the whole experience a train. And then you fill in the applications in the boxcars and the various time slots to try to manage this and get things lined up. So that's kind of the overall process and how you think about it. Typically, if you can have like a core team for larger projects, that works out well. You don't have to have the in-depth experience learned by everybody. You can have the team kind of go around and help the various people if they're moving their applications forward, be kind of a center of competence kind of approach. That certainly works well, again, for larger environments. I know not everybody has got the huge environments, but certainly some people do. Education requirements, if you're moving, you know, between a large breadth of time, say you're moving from version 4 of WebSphere, and I know there's some still out there, up to version 6.1, well, there's a big change in administration that you have to learn, and that you have to plan on, right? As time goes by, you'll see that, you know, we've stabilized since version 5 on our administration model. There's much less to learn, much less that changes, as well as for developers who run, you know, JEE from a development perspective or programming interface. There's less to learn there. So we find that this is becoming less of a problem as time goes by. The website that I'll point you to has information on online learning and all kinds of you know, specific information as well. But it's certainly worth a consideration to see, you know, how far along you are in your education plan. The hardware requirements, now is the time to consider whether or not you're going to stage out that old hardware and bring in new. The reason that I say that is because that will affect how you can move your configuration forward. If you're going to be dropping in new hardware, the migration tools that we have out there are not going to be that useful for you. So you have to, you know, consider whether or not you're going to drop new hardware in. You don't want to have to migrate and then drop in new hardware. That seems like it's a lot of double effort. So I typically recommend that you do that as one step. But understand if you need to do that and if you need to upgrade before you move on. The topology assessment is to understand if you can suffer some downtime. Do you have, high-risk environments you can't lose? You have to make sure that, you know, they're up and running all the time. How will you do your migration and still maintain uptime? Typically, if you have a maintenance kind of strategy, then you're usually in pretty good shape there if you're addressing that same kind of concern for when you apply maintenance, right? If you update applications or if you're putting fixed packs on for WebSphere App Server, then you probably already understand how to do that. Not everybody necessarily has got that all planned out. The application architecture can change. We've seen tightening of the specifications. There's always, you know, almost always now a new Java EE version. When we move between versions of App Server, there's almost always a new Java runtime environment when you move between, and each of those can have changes that bubble out to the applications. It's important to understand what those changes are. That is all what we've got out on our website, documented in great detail, and I'll point you to that when we get near the end here. Your testing practices, make sure that, you know, you're comfortable with your testing practices, that you can apply them to migration, that it's all about managing risk here, right? If you go forward without having a very fully tested environment, you're incurring more risk. You can certainly have lesser expense by testing less, but the trade-off is risk, right? It's kind of one of those triangle approaches where you have to trade off different things for risk, reward, and expense. And you kind of have to make that decision yourself where you feel comfortable in that. Vendor applications are always a challenge, typically, to plan for and understand. Depending on the WebSphere version that you're targeting, your vendor applications may not yet be certified on that WebSphere App Server version. As time goes by, of course, then nature takes its course, and many times those vendors will be ready for you. If you say you're going to 6.1, if you said you're going to 6.1, you know, 18 months ago, you'd have a much more difficult story typically with the vendor apps than we do, you know, 2 years, right, which is kind of where we're at now. So in many cases, we see vendors already on 6.1, But consider they may not be ready. Consider that you may have to keep kind of a cell on the side that is just for these vendor applications that they're not ready to move, or it gets in the way of your scheduling or something like that. Sometimes we have to have some form of isolation for that. And the same can be said for stack products. Depending, again, on timing, not always will the portals of the world or all the XDs, right, the web-specific products, be ready at the same time on the product that you're targeting versus when they're ready to go out on it. This is the biggest part here, is really understanding the pieces. This is what I talk to the most to, is really this chart. It's understanding the pieces to get ready to do the plan, and it's the most important part of the whole process. Can we move on to chart 7, please? So from that, now it becomes more mechanical. It's more of, laying out the plan, what you understand the pieces to lay out. The hardware requirements we talked about already. When do you do the prerequisite software upgrades? Typically, you have to upgrade potentially the operating system of the platforms that you're on, or the databases that you're using, or so usually the web servers almost always have to be upgraded. When do you fit that in? When do you have those in your hands? How does that get managed? Any of the educational needs that you may have identified earlier on? The couple of key points here are the early adopters and the pilot projects that result from those early adopters. Typically, in many shops, though, you can identify almost the personalities of the different projects or different applications that you have in your shop. Many of the projects are more cautious and say, oh, I will wait until somebody else goes first and they'll learn from them. And that's fine. That's cool. That makes sense for a lot of applications. You typically almost always have someone that will say, ooh, I want to be first, adventurous or whatever, groundbreaking, excitement, whatever the reason may be. But those people are also a very important part of this process, because you don't want everybody to go at the same time. I don't believe if you've got a large number of applications, if you've got 300 applications, I don't believe that you want to say, okay, everybody go, right? Everybody go and make your changes and we'll figure this out as we fly. I'd prefer to see one or two or three or a smaller number of applications go first, take the information that we've got. If there's something else that needs to be augmented based on the information specific to your environment, you can learn from that. They can write it down. They can help other applications as they become finished up. And it's just a lot more efficient to take an iterative approach, and that's really I'm a big proponent of iteration. To take the iterative approach to learn once and then spread the knowledge later. So if you typically in everybody's mind, they can hopefully find somebody that's an adopter and start those on as pilot projects earlier on. The risk factors and the timeline, typically many businesses have particular times that they can't afford to be down. Banks have certain, times where they can't be down. Insurance companies are very, tax-oriented kind of businesses. So everybody kind of has their, quiet time when they can't afford to make any runs out to production. Any changes at all are just not allowed. So factor that into your plan and understand how that, the risk factors associated as well. How would you mitigate risks if you had something, disaster strike as part of this whole process? And one thing people don't ordinarily think about is a rollback plan. And that is, if you're on the way to, migrating, you've got some of your applications over there on the newest version, disaster strikes, and all of a sudden your performance goes to heck, what do you do? Right? Need to have a way to roll back and keep your existing environment as is, be able to fire up those old applications in the old environment and continue business. And that, I think, is a very important part of this overall process. Move on to chart 8, please. Skills, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. Here's the various factors that you may have to think about for education and skills. There's certainly a lot of online education material. There's classes that can be taken. There's articles that are available, and I'll point you to quite a bit of that on the website. But there's a variety of ways you may have to address skills and just factor that into the plan. You need to do that probably fairly earlier on in your overall cycle if you do need to do any education as part of your overall process. Chart 9, please. So the runtime environment, we typically don't think of this as a natural part of a migration process. So I'd like to spend a little bit of time here talking about that. Typically, you'll see that you can't just make the big switch over and have the new version of all of WebSphere and all your test systems. You're probably going to have to, you know, if you manage working with multiple versions at the same time, you need to have your test systems lined up to support that, especially, again, in a big environment. In smaller environments, you may be able to do it more quickly and stage things over. That's cool. But for the larger environments, that's more difficult. You may have to have these things in parallel. And so, you know, is your hardware capacity sufficient to do that? Do you have enough disk space and memory requirements if you're going to run in these things in parallel? So that's part of that overall considerations as well. And everybody has their own level of tests and system tests and environments independent of development and production, right? There's, you know, a lot of times you'll hear QA, right? You'll hear performance. You'll hear integration. Those as integration points for test systems and various stages of migrating the applications through the environment. Typically, these are out there for normal maintenance checkout anyway. So what I would typically think about is we have a migration plan, right, that you've developed. Part of that is rolling out the changes to production, getting those production systems upgraded to the newest version. We need to test that plan, and certainly that part of the plan, on something other than production, right? You don't want to go out to your production environment and say, oh, okay, let's try it, right? So these other test systems that are out there are lower risk. If you lose time on those, it typically is lower risk than production. A lot of times people are very sensitive to test systems, and they should be, but I will still say they're lower risk if you have a problem on your test systems and your production. So basically just practice your upgrade on your test systems as part of the overall plan. That's what I'm recommending. And each of these environments is going to be different based on the number of test systems you have. But it's a good place to practice the overall production migration. You want to chart 10, please? The development environment is typically more well understood. Typically, iterations, a key part of that. You have code, you modify code, you test code, you modify code until you get it working right. When you're moving up in application server migration, you're typically going to have a new development environment. It's almost a guarantee at this point. Rational is the latest environment that we have for the latest versions of WebSphere. You may need to transition, again, between the different development environments. That's part of your overall plan. Some cases you may need more hardware in order to run these on the environment. And you get to plan that out as well, right? You have to understand whether or not the latest version of the development environment is going to stress your developers' machines and whether or not you have to move on. So that's certainly part of the plan. The application compatibility is very key here to address very specifically as part of the migration. What I really cringe is when people do the migration as part of their standard, well, I'm changing my application anyway, I'll make my changes to do the migration to the latest WebSphere version at the same time, and that way I'll save some time, right? And it also, by saving time, you're also increasing risk. So that's a trade-off that has to be understood and really managed, whether or not you want to make that risk. Typically, as many times you can't avoid it, right? Where you do have to make this change concurrent because we already have an idea. We got to get this application out. We've committed to the company. We've got this version. It's going out in this time frame, and we're doing the migration at the same time. Oh, my God, we have to do it all at once. Yeah, it happens, right? You just have to understand there's a little bit higher risk. I prefer approach where you'd say the only changes I'm going to make in my application are just to get upgraded to the latest version, right? Check those in, manage that. Go through the full cycle. I know it's more expensive, but it's, again, a decision you have to make on trade-off of expense, time, and risk. And those are the big three parts of the equation. You can't have it all. If you're going to save some expense, you're increasing your risk. So I prefer to recommend people at least try is to keep it simple. Just to make the changes that are necessary, don't go back in and make all the deprecation changes, for example, even at the same time. Deprecation, except for the Java runtime, means we're going to change it later, right, at some point in time, but it should still work. So I even like to keep those out of the equation as well. But, as experience guides you, you have to make your own decisions. Certainly there's a trade-off of expense if you can combine some of these steps together. But that's the overall idea from what I've seen. Can we move on to chart 11 then, please? So now we've gone through, executed quite a bit of our plan, got our applications changed and tested, got our test systems enabled to support that testing of the applications, tried out our overall configuration migration on at least one of these test systems. Now let's do some overall testing, right, kind of a final testing that we would do as part of our standard processes. One thing I would look at here is performance. May not always be done as part of your standard processes, but I would at least, if you have some performance-sensitive applications, I would at least benchmark those on the existing environment and understand how they are working on the new environment. We've seen some changes in the Java runtime and garbage collection policies in the new JDK 5. And in many cases, it's better, and in some cases, it's not. In some cases, it seems to be a little more hungry for memory, and in other cases, it's very good at collecting garbage. So there are trade-offs here that you have to understand, but at least you have a baseline to come from. Understand where your current performance is and whether or not you're in the ballpark when you move to the new environment. That's pretty key. So I typically encourage people, if they have some very sensitive environments, at least focus on those. And they may not have to do it for every application, but again, use some common sense. Use the ones that you really are critical on as your baseline, and then you can understand where the whole all the parts fit together and whether or not you have to focus on some performance measurements for other applications. Again, the rollback plan, I'll stress that if something dramatic happens while you're going, moving over to a new production system and you have to go back and you don't have anything available to you to roll back to, that's a problem. You can't run your business anymore, and that's pretty tough. So make sure that you include that as part of the overall production plan for migration. Again, it's part of the risk assessment and how much risk are you willing to take. And at the end, again, let's take a look at the results. How did we do? Did we have some unexpected problems? Did everything go smoothly? And, keep a record of that. So the next time that you're going to do a migration, you understand those. Let's move on to chart 12. Okay. So now, believe it or not, we're out of that whole planning thing. Not many people don't like to hear that have to do all this work up front ahead of time. Now we're going to get more into the, kind of the pragmatics of what we're expecting when we're doing the overall migration from especially a runtime and a development perspective. Chart 13, please. So, I focus on two major audiences, the administrator and the developer. So for an administration model, anything prior to version 5 is dramatically different than version 5 and later. So we used to have a database-based repository and commands associated with that, and, of course, that was a big breakover point at version 5. Many of you are past that, hopefully everybody, but I'm not going to kid myself. There's probably somebody out there that is earlier than version 5. But certainly that's a big transition is when you go into the new admin model starting in version 5. After that point, we've seen a lot of stability. There's a few things here and there that are in the detailed materials I'll point you to. If you have some more scripts that you use, there were some breakages in 6.0 and in 6.1, but primarily your scripting is very compatible. We used to have different migration tools and the different environments, and we've merged all that together, so we have a very consistent model now for moving forward. Chart 14, please. So this chart, from an administrative perspective, gives you a kind of a view of how things are degree of difficulty, I guess I would say, at kind of the high level, right? So the way you read this chart is the rows are indicating the version you're coming from, and the columns are the target of where you're moving to. So let's say that we're on version 5.1, that row, which is basically third from the top, over it intersects version 6.1, and it basically says easier in a green line. And that's, you know, it'll never be easy, right? Let's not kid ourselves, right? There's always work to be done here. But this is a degree of difficulty. If you had some experience moving off of version 4 and you see that big red line, it was a pit, right? No matter what happened, when you came off of version 4 earlier, it was a very difficult challenge moving up to version 5.0 and later. And this is, again, what I'm trying to show here is significant improvement. Once you get on 5.0 and going forward, things tend to be a lot easier moving forward. There isn't that big chasm that you have to cross. Chart 15, please. One question that, and I think a misconception that I hear a lot about is, oh, my God, Jackal's been deprecated. That means I'm going to have to, all these scripts have to go and rewrite, right, into Jython. And really the message here is no, you don't have to. Certainly we have said that Jackal is deprecated. I think you'll hear actually a different take on that later in the year when we come out with version 7. We have a different tact on what we're claiming for Jackal. But we recognize that there's a lot of people out there using it. We don't intend to remove it. That intention. We can't never predict the future and say we'll never remove it. But certainly understand there's a lot of people out there who do use Jackal, and we certainly would like to keep it out there and working for those people that do use it and not require them to move to Jython. Jython is really our preferred direction strategically, and there's a lot of reasons why we're focused on Jython and moving away from Jackal. You'll see there's some development environment support for Jython development that's out there. That's what we're going to focus on strategically. So one approach that I typically would recommend is, consider an evolution. You can certainly keep your existing scripts if they work for you, fine. If there's some new scripts that you want to develop, then look at Jython and move forward that way. So it's kind of a compromise and evolution as opposed to rewriting everything at once. Chart 16, please. From an application perspective, now this is the developer point of view, right? Compatibility here. There's quite a bit of compatibility in J2EE, although it's not guaranteed. You can look at all the specs, and I do. And certainly there's some incremental upgrade that it's provided. It's assumed as part of that, but it's not tightly controlled. There are, some changes in applications that may need to be made due to application clarification or tightening. And these we've all tried to identify in our supporting documentation on the website. But keep this in mind, it's not totally compatible. You can't guarantee of it. In many cases, it's very compatible, but there's always that, but of doubt here. The APIs from WebSphere are very compatible. We focused on that. But we see that, there's really three big pieces of compatibility to think about in your applications. One is the Java runtime. You use that quite a bit, of course, in your applications. This is a Java-based environment. So if there's incompatibilities there, you're going to be, pretty much forced to look at those and address those. There are some alternatives to look at that, but it's certainly something to consider. The second piece is really the Java EE, which we're addressing here. I'm not guaranteed to be compatible. We certainly help and try to get as much compatibility there as possible, but it's a committee approach, right? And IBM doesn't have the final version and say in how these things get shipped. And then the third piece is the WebSphere APIs, which we can control, and we're pretty good at maintaining compatibility, and we're very focused on trying to keep those compatible, not remove stuff that shouldn't be removed. But those are the big three pieces you have to think about and how you're moving forward with your applications and what you may have to change. Chart 17, please. This is our deprecation policy for WebSphere APIs. Again, this is the piece we can control. This is something that, we in development and IBM can say, this is our decision, and we have total destiny here. So we have this deprecation policy. If not something is deprecated, we have to, by policy, support it for two full releases from that point, or three full years, whichever is longer. It may be removed at that point, but not necessarily will it be. We've got a new statement of support, 5+3, and I've got the link in there if you want more information. And there's, and then you probably want to go out and look at that based on, you know, what you're using. Understand that App Server is probably not the only thing you're using. But there's a variety of products that signed up for this. It used to be 3+2, meaning you had 3 years of service for free once a product was shipped, and then 2 years you could buy as an extension. Now it's 5 years basically for free and plus three if you want to buy it for that period of time. So the intent here is to give you longer life on your existing environments without having to make you migrate all the time. I recognize you're trying to run your business, not your software. So this is, I think, a big improvement in how you can manage your environment and expect longer life out of it, frankly. Move on to chart 18. So, again, developer hat, right? This is from the developer environment, how you would expect from an overall viewpoint the expectations as you're moving forward your applications. So we see here again, you know, the rows are where you're coming from, the columns are moving to. If you're, you know, on 3.5 and earlier, it was pretty tough because you had to move on to a whole new development environment, a Java EE processing environment, packaging environment. You had, how you built your applications was totally different. How you tested them is different. But again, once we got beyond that, we're in pretty good shape. 4.0 and on, except for Z, the ZS environment was a little bit different. Is very compatible from typically a development environment. I'm not going to say that it's 100% compatible, but it's definitely a lot easier than things were in the past, and we're certainly striving for compatibility. But, again, keep this in mind that there's no guarantees here, and expect that there's some changes necessary in your applications. Move on to chart 19. This is a kind of a big view of, you know, if you're moving from one version of WebSphere to another, kind of the standard things to look at. The first row there is the development environment. You'll see that basically it changes every time you move between versions. The latest is RAD 7 or RSA or whatever you might use. Or, of course, you can use something else like, you know, Eclipse or something else like that. But what, you know, we support in WebSphere and have in a test environment for is the rational environment. From a coding perspective, you can pick out, you know, what's changed here. If you're moving from, say, you know, version 5.1 to version 6, your JDK didn't change, right? But your Java application level changed. If you're moving from 6.0 to 6.1, it's just the JDK that changes, right? So you can see, based on this, kind of what the risks are, what the change areas may be, you know, what to focus on from your application development perspective and your testing that's associated with that. Kind of give you the big view of where things fit in. Packaging story is again very consistent once we get off of, you know, onto 4.0 and later. The configuration in the ear is a new feature in 6.0 and 6.1 where you can put some like resource definitions and such in your application itself, make it more portable, as opposed to having to set up a set of scripts to set up your resources like JDBC drivers or whatever with your applications, run those in parallel. There's some pluses and minuses to that I always wanted to talk about. Certainly for portability, it's kind of nice to have that resource definition in the application, but a lot of times you may want different settings for those resources based on whether you're tests or production, right? So administrators may not really like this feature as much as developers, but there's an easy way to control it. It's off by default when you install an application. So you can still put the definitions in there. The administrators can choose whether or not to honor it. In one way, you can use it as kind of a documentation technique if you wanted. You can, you know, the developer could put in the definitions that they know they need in the application. The administrator could choose to either use those or set up ones based on their own specific policies for production systems or the different test systems or whatever. So it's a new feature, but, you know, use with the appropriate caution or within policies gated by your own company. The admin and ops is pretty consistent. You'll see once we got off of 3.5, you know, we had the standard plug-in support in the web server environment. So that's, again, this is to give you a big view of what to expect when you're changing between versions. Chart 20, please. So always the question is, you know, what version am I going to pick if I'm moving forward? you know, depending on when versions are available and when versions expire, these become even more difficult or more easy a decision to make. Keep in mind here that version 5.1 is going out very soon, right? It's going out of service in September of 2008. I want to make sure you're all aware of that if you weren't already and potentially panicking. But that certainly is something to, you know, you're going to have to move off of that or pay for, you know, service extensions or just wing it, right? So that's something that, you know, keep in mind. And there's a lot of different factors when you're choosing a new version of WebSphere. Many people will, you know, say, okay, well, is it stable yet? The one that I really want to go to. 6.1's been out there for 2 years. You could say, well, you know, it's getting there. That's probably the most logical landing point if you're going to do this, you know, really soon. The next version of WebSphere is coming out later. You could consider whether to move to that. Again, it's going to base on timeline, your viewpoint of stability of that target version. Also keep in mind, if you have other WebSphere products that you use or other third-party vendors, what do they need, right? I mean, if your goal is to move on to the latest version as soon as it comes out, you're going to have more of a challenge with other products supporting it and being able to use those in concurrency with the latest version of WebSphere if you want to move to it. So there's always a balancing act here, right? And that's, again, everybody's going to make their own decision here about what they choose and what their goals are. But just understand the impacts of, you know, whatever decision you make. There's a variety here to look at, and they're varying based on your needs. But that's kind of the major selling points here of which version you're going to migrate to. And chart 21, please. So now we're going to go more into specifics of the runtime support. I'm not going to go to great detail here. I'm just going to give you the high-level brush. There's more information available in the Info Center about how to run these things, but I want to make sure we understand from a high level what are the possibilities, right? What can you do? Chart 22. So there's four different sections we're going to cover here in this and the following chart. Basically, it's about giving you choices and flexibility. You can use, for example, a variety of targets in your web server plugin. You don't have to match them up. You can mix and match 5.0.5.1.6.0.6.1 in the latest version of, you know, the 6.1 web server that we support. So this allows you, again, to have some of your applications on, let's say, 6.1, some of your applications yet on 5.1, be able to route traffic appropriately with no problem, right? So you don't have to have everything on at the same time and do that big bang kind of thing. Again, it's supporting an iterative approach. Coexistence basically says you can do that by having multiple versions of WebSphere on the same physical machine. Not in the same directory structure, of course, they're different directory structures, but you know, you can certainly do that. That is supported, that is tested. The caution there is make sure you've got enough hardware capacity to manage it. Make sure you've got disk space available, or you're going to be running, you know, more JVMs on these environments. Make sure you've got enough memory in order to handle that. So that's another feature that you can use to do this overall migration process. Chart 23, please. Another is interoperability. So sometimes you have links between your applications. You may have EGBs involved, for example, and server front-ending that. So you can certainly have a 6.1 servlet talking to a 5.1 EJB, right? So you don't have to have this spaghetti mass of all the applications intertwined all move at the same time, and that's what interoperability is there for. We also have runtime migration tools which help you move the configuration between one version of WebSphere and another. We'll talk more about when to use that. That may not be applicable for all environments. There's some trade-offs there to understand. But it is an option that you can use in many cases to help you just move your existing configuration forward without having to recreate it by hand or go through everything in the Win Console or write a bunch of scripts. So it certainly is an option to consider. Chart 24. Part of this support is what we call the mixed cell or the mixed version cell support, I think is more appropriate name here. That basically says you can have a 6.1 deployment manager, for example, managing not just 6.1 nodes, but 5.1, 5.0, or 6.0 nodes. So again, this gives you the ability to transition more smoothly, iterative as opposed to Big Bang. The deployment manager always has to be at the highest version, the highest PTF level for this to work. That's basically primarily a testing and a support statement. In many cases, there's actual technical reasons why we have to have that, and it's not just testing. You can also see that you can do clusters with mixed versions of app servers in them. So you have a lot of, again, flexibility here to do things more iteratively as opposed to having to have separate cells and move the configuration by hand from one to the other. Chart 25. So there's three typical strategies that I see when we're moving things forward, and I focus here on network deployment because that's mostly what's out there and mostly what people use. There's certainly some standalone environments. Those are typically more straightforward. But these are the three main strategies that I see, and I'll go through each one of these in more detail in the upcoming charts. So the first one is manual. Basically, you just have two cells side by side. As you move applications forward, you take them off of the old environment, move them onto the new one, parallelism, right? And we'll talk more about the pros and cons of that, but that's the basic environment. A lot of people do that. Another is to use the migration tools and some mixed version cell support we talked about, where you move the configuration forward and each one of your nodes are moved forward in totality, right, as part of the overall process. Works for some people, doesn't work for necessarily everybody. If you've got a lot of applications on there on that node, then it becomes a project management issue that we'll talk about later on, but that is certainly an approach that is supported by the runtime tools. Another approach is mixed version utilization, where we use the automation of the migration tools to migrate over the D manager, and then we'll add in some new nodes and then move applications over more iteratively as opposed to moving the whole node over one big piece at a time. Just talked to a customer yesterday, and that's the approach they're going to take. Yeah, great. I mean, it certainly is one of the three prescribed approaches that I typically see out there. So let's move on to chart 26, where I'll talk more about the manual pros and cons. So basically, just ignore the existing configuration that's in the old environment, create a brand new cell, populate it. Hopefully, you have some good admin scripts that will set up the environment for you. Otherwise, it's much more of a manual process. There's fewer dependencies here, right? And really, better off having a good set of scripts that help us. Not always do we have that. I've seen very few customers be able to make the investment in a fully prescribed set of scripts that will just set up a brand new environment from scratch, right? I mean, that's kind of nirvana from a lot of people's perspective. But, from the pros' perspective, there's no dependence on the tools. You can kind of do it in your own pace. There's less risk. There's less code involved in making this transition. And you can certainly move the applications over one at a time pretty easily. On the other side, though, if you have these scripts, it's an investment to create the scripts. It's an investment to maintain the scripts. You can still, set this up by hand, but if there's some key settings you had, set up in your old environment, those won't be moved over automatically, right? You have to recreate all those by hand and manually. So if you've got simple environments, small environments, this is definitely a good approach, right? If you've been burned before and you like to have this environment set up, sure, that's certainly, a valid decision to make. I'm not recommending one approach over the other. I'm basically just saying these are all choices that you can make that seem to make sense to a lot of folks. Okay. So move on to chart 27. And this is kind of the baseline of the migration tools. It'll basically move your configuration from the old environment to the new. Stepwise process where you migrate the deployment manager and then iteratively each one of the nodes. Now, with that comes all the applications on those nodes. Well, we migrate at the same time. So you don't have to worry about those scripts. If you haven't made that investment, this is kind of replace that, right? If you do have a comprehensive set of scripts, the manual approach is probably very sensible and makes a lot of good investment. You're gathering the fruits of your investment, basically, right, by using it for migration as well. If you don't have that, then this is another approach that can be done. So the cons of this, right, is there's no dependency here. There's the tools that are involved. All the applications on that node, if you use this approach, have to be ready at the same time. So So this kind of breaks down a little bit from a scalability point of view. If you've got a small number of apps there, you can get them all certified at the same time, just move the whole node over. Cool, right? You saved all your configuration, replicated that environment, everything is set up for you and just moved over. What we will do is a starting point here when I talk about we do not enable upgraded features. So there's a, for example, there's a new security model in 6.1. If you're migrating from 6.0 to 6.1, we will keep the old security model for you, and then you have to basically re-enable to use the new stuff if you wanted. So there's some manual steps there you'd have to do to move up to the new security model. We keep you in the known existing safe environment, right? And then when you want to move up, you can certainly do that more iteratively yourself when you're beyond the point of migration. Let's move on to chart 28. And this is the last approach here that we see typically used. It's a combination. So you'll end up using the tool to just migrate the D-manager, deployment manager yourself. Then leave basically the old nodes there that owned by the deployment manager, add in some new nodes, move the applications over more one at a time, right, as opposed to having to move the whole node over. So this works well, especially if you've got your configuration in clusters, you've got your configuration at the cell level. All that's moved over when you move the deployment manager, migrate using the tools. What won't be moved over using this approach automatically is anything at the node level and below. So if you've got some resources defined at the node level or at the application server level, you'll have to manage moving those over as part of moving the application. But this certainly it saves a lot of people a lot of time by using this approach. Let's move on to chart 29. So that was kind of like so now we've gone through the tooling, right? We started out with the planning. We talked about the different options you can have, administration, developer. Now we're going to talk, a bit more just again here on 6.1. When I typically talk in other venues, I talk in a broader perspective, but I just want to focus on 6.1 here for the purposes of the length of this call and make sure we have plenty of time for Q&A. So let's move on to chart 30. And here, again, 6.1. So these are the factors to look at if you're going to move to 6.1. If you're going to go somewhere else, the existing supports out there in the chart that's much like this and decks. There's a deck out there on the website that I'll point you to, and a couple of charts has all this information in it for other versions. I just want to focus on 6.1. I also want to say that this is additive. Okay, so if you start out on 5.1 and you want to move to 6.1, you're going to have to know the implications of basically what 6.0 did to you and what 6.1 did to you from a migration perspective. So it's kind of additive, right? So every version's got its own characteristics of what's changed and what to consider for migration. So you basically add those up. So you'll see in the top part here things unique to 6.1, the development tools, JDK 5, the removed features of 6.1, all these things are very particular to 6.1. You also see down here a section that is common, whether you're going to 6.0 or 6.1. And that's just part of this additive approach, right, where as you move across versions, it all kind of adds up together. And you'll see a set of things there. I'm not going to cover all the details here. This will take another hour and a half probably to do that, all these specific things, or at least an hour. Again, I've got this information in the website I'll point you to go and dig in for all the specifics. Move on to chart 31, please. One thing I did want to cover here is feature packs. Feature packs are a cool thing in 6.1. You can do EGB3, you can do web services. There's other there as well, but those are the primary ones I focus on. But there are some restrictions that we had to have when we put out feature packs in 6.1, and that is there's some limitations on what you can do in combination with migration. So you can't just mix and match all these together. You can migrate deployment manager profiles and then put the augmentation on for the feature pack of your choice or choices, but you have to do it in these particular steps where you migrate first. You migrate the federated nodes or get everything on 6.1, and then you could do the augmentation of the feature pack later on once you're on 6.1, right, in totality. Another approach here is kind of this, if you look at the bottom, some combinational kind of things you can do. You can add in nodes, right? Or you can create a new cell if you want to use feature packs. I know that's not the best story here. Trust me, I've gone through a lot of pain with this. But I want to make sure you're aware, and this is part of your planning, if you are looking at doing feature packs as well as migrating, we need to do a little bit more careful planning here about how to do that. Let's move on to Chart 32. So this is the enablement website that I've been promising to point you to. We keep this up to date within my team, add new stuff in as we learn things, as new things come to light. I've updated this every 2-3 months probably. I've updated the charts out there on the main website. There's specific tabs for the different environments you're going to. For example, version 6.1 has its own tab. You can go out there and look at the information that's out there. So there's a lot of good information that you can be used for planning purposes, for educational purposes, for very specific information. What we're going to do is kind of create this one site, this collection, that's focused on migration as opposed to all the other places you may have to look for migration stuff. We'll just kind of put it here in one-stop shopping. Chart 33, please. So in summary here, needs to be pragmatic, repeatable, well-designed process. From my perspective anyway, I prefer that as opposed to kind of a let's try it and go off and see what happens. Definitely there have been some improvements. Things are becoming easier. There's more tools and techniques. There's certainly some changes you may have to make in your applications and your configuration. We're working very hard to try to minimize that, but it's a very tough job to make that 100% compatible. Move on to Chart 34. Some more resources. So this chart includes links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for webs or products. The DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on the support pages points you to the webcast and conference information. You can look at the WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get users up the learning curve quickly. And the ESR tools for Password Advantage clients to open, update, and view PMRs. And the My Support link on all product support pages lets you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you, which I think would be very valuable. Okay, so I think I'll turn it back over to Elijah for the transition to the Q&A. That's where we're at right now. Thanks for your attention.
And we'll take our first question today from Asha Mishra with IBM. Please go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to ask, I'm working currently at Banco Montreal.
Okay.
And this customer, they're using WebSphere 4 data source and still using the Connection Manager architecture. So I was wondering if there is any information in terms of, benefits, pros and cons of moving off the WebSphere 4 data source to a new JCE architecture and moving off, like, EJB 1.0, they're still on EJB 1.0, and that's the reason.
Okay. Well, they're pretty much going to have to go to the JCA architecture. I think we support the old model past the 4.0 environment. So there's some information on how to make that conversion available. A lot of it is, more documentation-oriented and not so much tools. But I can get just more information on that if the website doesn't provide that for you. EJB, in the future, we'll probably see more EJB kind of go in more of a hold pattern on their current level. I don't know that I would say that they have to move off of that at this point. I would probably take more of an iterative approach. Look at the moving on to JCA first, and then when there's more of a necessity to move off their HEB level, then look at that.
Yeah, sorry, just to follow up. You mentioned they have to move on to the new JCA architecture because currently the problem is that because they are on HEB 1.0 and they only support it, only WebSphere 4 data sources support it. And have to means like we have to give some kind of a benefits or some pros and cons of that as to see, because they claim that, okay, well, this is still supported, and why should we move off this thing?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm still looking for some material.
Right. So,
you know, this is not unusual that, you know, customers will be forced to make a business decision, right? It's an investment to migrate.
Right.
And, you know, tell me why I should move on to a new version when what I have works, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's very little monetary justification you can put in here. This is a typical problem that customers have within their company, saying, well, you know, my current infrastructure works. I'm getting by. I may have to pay IBM for more extended support, or I'm just winging it. Tell me about it, that's a bad thing. And it's pretty hard to come up with monetary reasons to explain that. There really isn't any, because it is an expense. You really have to look at, in many cases, the customers that I've worked with who've made this move, basically said, okay, we got to get in the future, right? We got to get to SOA. We got to go to a more effective model. The only way we can do that is to move in later versions of WebSphere and the associated products that support that. And from a merging perspective, many times they'll have multiple versions of WebSphere they already have in other parts of their company, 6.0, 6.1, and they also have 4.0, and it's just, hard to maintain from an administrative perspective. So there's some maintenance savings by converging, getting off the old hardware, moving to one model. Getting rid of the old hardware a lot of times, right? What 4.0 was on, they just plain run out of gas at some point. Those are the kind of rationale that I've seen customers make this final decision when they're going to move off an old product. But, as far as building a financial justification pitch, it really doesn't work.
Yeah, I wasn't looking for a financial thing.
Yeah,
looking for a pros and cons for JCA architecture versus a connection manager architecture. Maybe I can send you an email offline and
yeah, that would be good. Just moving forward to a new version implies, if they make that decision, there's going to be some drag along, right? And it's really more the other way around. It's not, this is the, why you should give off your connection manager stuff and make the change to go to JCA. It's going to be hard to make that justification as well. It's more like, okay, what's the penalty for moving on to a new version of WebSphere is typically more the way you see it, right? But, yeah, I'll be happy to look at this offline with you.
Sure. Thank you.
Sure.
And our next question comes from Charles Oliva with Eli Lilly.
Hi there. I understand that your presentation is working through different versions, version 4 through 6.1, and it's still obviously early in the 7 process, so you can't comment too much on that. I'm curious if you've had any early experience and if you can comment on the transition from 5 or 6 up to 7 in terms of the easy, difficult range. Do you have any early feelings on that?
That's fair. Again, you can't quote me on this, right? All that stuff. But the trends that I showed earlier on there, and those two big charts to get the green and the red on them, those are consistent from my experiences. And I've done quite a bit of work. I'm in development in shop, and I work on the app server, so I've got a pretty good feel for what's going on. And I'm in the process of trying to make sure we have compatibility when we're going through our environment. So in general, it's following the same trend. There's no quantum leaps here. There's a new Java runtime, Java 6 as opposed to Java 5. That is publicly available as far as, what the transition issues are with that out in the Sun site. I can get you that if you need it. But it's not looking like a big jump to go, from when you compare Java 5 of 6.1 to Java 6 of 7.0. And that's really how you compare, really, is, how many versions are you changing, and then what's the sum total of that, right? So if you're comparing, let's say, moving 5.1 to 6.1 versus 5.1 to 7, I'd say it's going to be about the same. I don't see a lot of big differences that 7 is adding on. The thing to keep in mind here, as I talked about earlier on, is the time frame, right, and stability of 7 and lining up the third-party vendors and the stack products, and they're going to support it. That typically becomes more of the challenge.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And next we'll go to David Lowe with AT&T Services Incorporated.
Hi, Dana. I have two questions. The first question is, will RAD 7.5, which is using JDK 1.6, generate compatible code for WebShare 6.1.0.15 using JDK 1.5?
You can certainly set it up that way. So when you target your project to be 6.1, then it'll set up the appropriate level for you. And certainly the compiler will support back level versions of the compilation level. So yeah, the 6.1, I'm not sure about the PTF number. That, you know, should be moot. From what I've seen, I don't have any specifics relative to that, if there's something unique there. But certainly RAD 7.5 will support a 6.1 environment, and that includes compiling to that level that's supported by 6.1. Is that fair?
In RAD 7.5, right?
Right, in RAD 7.5.
Yeah. Okay. And the second question is, the one thing that we found from our migration is to know your client or the client that's calling you, basically. And then we have some clients that are WebShare application server clients.
Okay.
And basically they can do almost anything they want because they're kind of developing in a desktop level, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. And are there any best practices for the clients or tech notes written so that to ensure that they use the right IBM libraries and jar files so that it will recognize the workload management, especially if they're calling an AJB.
Mm.
You know, because we keep looking for that, and we have lots of clients that does that, and they're kind of, they're not finding those guidelines.
Yeah. So, you know, so workload management and clients are kind of opposing topics, right?
Yeah.
Right, because, you know, I mean, it's always kind of a more of a chaos from the client perspective that you've seen. So I know what you're saying. I haven't seen guidelines specific to that. Best practices is kind of what you're looking for, it seems.
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
and I can check around and see, but I haven't seen anything specific to that.
Is that something, you know, that we could request as a write-up for someone who's, you know, from a specialist standpoint?
Yeah, I'm not sure what quite the best advice to give you on that one. But certainly, the comment here of, you know, opportunity that you had of what sessions you want to see or what information you want to see, that would be a good place to get it. These calls are, you know, handled by the technical community within IBM, within WebSphere, and maybe we can get you a session on that. Beyond that, I don't know of a good way to request that. I mean, you have an IBM rep, right?
Yeah, so, okay, we could probably request it from there, yeah.
Yeah, and they can tap into a lot of resources that way.
Okay, we'll do that.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you, Dana.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And at this time, there's one name remaining in the roster, so if there are any additional questions, please press *1 at this time. And we'll now take a question from Mike Joseph with Allstate Insurance.
A question about lifecycle management. Our company has pretty long lead times for engineering new releases of WebSphere and then having those deployed across our pretty robust infrastructure.
Right.
I know you've gone to the 5+3 model for WebSphere 6.0.
Yeah.
We run quite a number of 6.02 installs with Portal 6.0 on top of them.
Okay.
And the quandary that we have is usually takes us about a year's worth of planning to get that migrated across our entire enterprise.
Yeah, I can, okay.
And with the current lifecycle website not displaying end of support date for 6.02, but yet with the 5+3 model having 602 coming out, having come out in December of 04, one may assume that as soon as December of 09, we could be looking at end of support for 602 and by inference, Portal 6.0 as well. About how long in advance might we anticipate an official IBM announcement with regard to end of support of 602, and how much lead time are we likely to get with that?
Okay, that's a really good question. And I'll tell you as much as I know, but I'm not the controller of that. I'll just tell you my experience and what I've seen. As I know it, there are two periods of time, you know, in a year that we can pull something out of support, right? It's like first quarter and third quarter. So December doesn't line up with either of those. And when we announce is based on the latest version that we announce. Okay, so I assume this is going to happen, but I can't guarantee it. At least what I've seen in the past, right? When we announced version 6.1, for example, we announced what was going out of service for the old versions at that time. So you'll see when version 7 gets announced, that same pattern should hold, and then we will update anything that's going to be out of service within that window, right, of the announcement of version 7.
Do you likely anticipate just a one-year lead time with that announcement, or might there be a longer time frame so that we get a further advanced notification of end of support other than just when it's timed around a new WAS release? The dilemma we face is if you're coming out with a new release every year and a half,
right?
At best, we've got 18 months. And at worst, and likely what I foresee happening, if you're going to end of the year come out with a 7.0, you're going to tell us that, you know, the following year we're going to have no more 6.02. That gives me, 14, 15 months to react with a 12-month lead time. That shaves it really close for my planning purposes. And has IBM, with the 5+3 change, has IBM addressed the need for some companies to have a longer period to plan for perhaps what could be a hopscotch over releases? So if we're at 6.0 with Portal 6.0 and IBM is going 5 years now on your maintenance, might it not be the case that more and more clients are going to skip 6.1, wait for 7.0 because they have a longer window, but yet IBM needs to come up and say, well, we need a longer, advanced notification of end of support time window?
Right.
Has that discussion been had, or are you not involved in any of that level of discussion?
I guess I haven't been privy to that. I'm more of the, the techie guy, and less on the, the product planning. I can certainly communicate that forward. That's something that we have heard before. And if you want to send me an email, I can get you that.
I don't want to, beat you senseless. I can always go through my IBM rep and get an answer through him. I just figured it might be germane to the discussion of migration, and if that was going to be factored in at any time soon, we'd be able to, see a change. IBM's changed from a 5+3. It might be nice that they change their advanced announcement of an end of support so that clients could prepare for it for more than a year.
No, that's fair. I see your point. I have not honestly heard of any change there. As far as I know, the policy is still the same. It's related to the latest release that we ship. And as far as the amount of time between releases, I think you've seen it spreading out more, right? As it used to.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, right? It used to be a year and a half. Now we're looking more like 2 years, right, approximately. And hopefully we continue that trend if we're going to have this 5+3 approach, which is, more of a stress for development, of course. So I don't have any more update information for you there. As far as I know,
You know, you'll get more information when version 7 announces, and, you know, that's what we have to go by at this point. I see that Portal 6.0 is also extended to be 5 years as well, which is good news for your particular environment. At least that's what I see here.
Yeah, it is, but I don't know if it's concurrent with its dependency on Webster 6.02, because Portal 6.0 was announced significantly after Webster 6.02.
Right.
And it's Portal 6.0 is not supported on WAS 6.1, so it implies, even though Portal states that there are 5 plus 3, if WebSphere 6.02 support goes away, you know, commensurate with its 5-year window, that doesn't run concurrent with Portal's 5-year window, and then there's some questions that need to be answered with regard to what that life cycle looks like. But I'll follow up with my IBM client rep here, and thank you very much for your consideration of my question.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, and I understand your frustration, and hopefully get a good answer for you. Thanks.
Robertson, for any additional or closing remarks.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Dana, for presenting today.
Well, thank you, Sue. Thanks for organizing it and managing the process here.